Chapter 23. Life for Life. In all things there is an exchange, of death for life, of darkness for light, of life for death, of light for darkness. Thus is universal equilibrium sustained. Ulthrion Aledred, Precepts of Fortitude Against the Primordial Annihilator. Translated. Vulcan, monolithic, had soaked up Damon's streams of expertly placed razor shot. Kurz merely sidestepped them. The Eldar munitions, screaming like a billion angry hornets, passed through and around the fold of smoke that Conrad Kurz had become. He was untouched. Unchecked by any object, the razor shot screamed on, ripping a long, broad blizzard of stone chips out of the quadrangle wall. Kurz left his laughter behind him. Aghast, Damon stopped firing for a second, turning, trying to see where his target had gone. How could anything so big move so fast, so unnaturally? A shadow slapped the sling pistols out of his hands. Damon winced and cried out. He had broken a shoulder blade and several ribs in his fall, and the impact across his wrists jarred him badly. His pain had only just begun. A single metal talon slid under his chin, punching up under the jaw through the floor of Damon's mouth. He gurgled in agony, his tongue pushed sideways, his mouth and throat rapidly filling with blood. Kurz laughed again and lifted Damon off the ground on the hook of his single talon. A whole new painful world, Kurz hissed sing-song. Damon struggled. It felt as if his face was about to be torn away. Whining furiously, the chainsword tore into Kurz from behind. John drove it in with all his might. He had considered using the spear, but he was afraid of what that might do to Kurz. The chainsword was a more reliable choice. Kurz yelped. Blood and shreds of black armour and cloth were flung out by the sword's cycling teeth. He let Damon fall and wheeled at John, his visage, hateful eyes, black in black, and a biting black maw in a spectral white face was the most terrifying thing John had ever seen. He didn't stand a chance. But Vulcan did. The decompressive pop of a teleport displacement drove John back as Vulcan materialized between him and the lunging Kurz. A hammer blow drove Kurz back. A second made him reel sideways. Kurz swung back with his claws, deflecting the hammer's third and fourth attacks. The action between them began to accelerate. They rapidly became post-human blurs, trading blows back and forth with unimaginable speed. Vulcan abruptly connected in a fundamental way. His huge, broad back and massive arms slammed the hammer into Kurz's torso. Plasteel cracked like a gunshot. Kurz, seemingly no more than a bundle of black rags, was hurled backwards. He brought down two of the quad's pillars in a rain of stones and dust and smashed through the wall into one of the empty sheds. Broken masonry slithered and dropped in the aftermath of the impact. Vulcan surged forward, using Dawnbringer to break the wall down further and get at his foe. Fully half of the fabricatory shed's outer wall collapsed in an avalanche of stonework and dust. Vulcan churned on in the rising dust, smashing debris out of his way to find Kurz. The Night Haunter came at him, screaming, claws wide.
Why won't you just die? This is nothing more than the end of the fight we began months ago, brother, and believe me, it will be the end.
He drove Vulcan back through another section of the shed wall, bringing down another cascade of masonry. Vulcan stepped back on his right foot, braced, and slammed the haft of the hammer around like a bludgeon, ramming the base into the side of Kurz's head. Kurz jolted sideways and then met the hammerhead coming the other way, and the blow sent him stumbling and flailing back into the yard. Vulcan followed, whirling Dawnbringer in a vertical undersweep that struck Kurz on the solar plexus, cracking him up and over onto his back. He rolled out of the way of Vulcan's next strike and screamed at John Grammaticus,
"Give me that thing! Give it to me!"
John was at Damon's side. Damon's mouth, chin and shirt front were soaked with blood, and he was spitting out more as his mouth kept filling. He couldn't speak, but he looked at John. His eyes were wide. Kurz, a rapid shadow, rushed at them to claim the spear and finish Vulcan any way that he could count on as permanent. Damon shoved John out of the way and pulled out the last of his four weapons. It was the small, red glass bottle. He hurled it at Kurz. The bottle was a tiny and very precious thing. The vessel had been carefully charged by Cabal specialists with warp magic for use in utter emergencies. Damon had learned its method by rote, and it had saved his life in the mountains 3 days after his arrival on the crag. As it shattered at Kurz's feet, it released the thing that Damon had trapped in it that day. Ushpetkar re-entered real space, freed from the prison of Damon's vessel and driven mad by its confinement. There was a brief and sickening suggestion of something massive and glossy sprouting from the floor of the yard, something muscular and segmented, like a vast jet-shelled centipede writhing with wet pseudopods. Ushpetkar attacked the first thing it saw. It shot up in an instant out of nowhere, curling over to collapse and constrict Conrad Kurz. He fought back, astonished, screaming, shredding its noisome flesh with his claws. Ushpetkar locked around him. The giant figure of the Primarch was engulfed in the greater, more fluid mass of the demon. It tightened its coils. It rippled. It squeezed them both out of real space, and they vanished together. Only a smear of iridescent black slime and broken fragments of red glass remained where they had been. Damon flopped back, gurgling blood as he tried to breathe. John rose to his feet and faced Vulcan. "You know what I'm trying to do, don't you?" John said. "Even in your distraction, you sense our kinship, lives and deaths over and over again. All that pain, we've both known it." Vulcan didn't respond, but he kept watching John with his burning eyes. John stepped closer, the spear in his hand. "Life for life, my lord," he said. "My life to cure yours. Take it. Take it gladly, so that you may fight for us all." Behind him, Damon made a wretched sound. He tried to rise. He understood what John was about to do. John raised the spear. Damon spat out a mouthful of blood.
"Don't! Don't!"
he managed to splutter. Vulcan saw the spear and recognized that he was about to be struck by a weapon. Involuntarily, he made to block it and break John with his hammer. John was already too close. He plunged the spear into the Primarch's chest. It went in without resistance, cutting clean through what was left of his armor plate and transfixed Vulcan's heart. Electric fire wreathed them both. Corpuscent ignited and burned around the stricken Primarch and the man driving the weapon into him. Holding on, yelling in pain, John felt his life, his long, long perpetual existence, flowing out of him through the spear into Vulcan. He hoped it would be sufficient. They fell. Vulcan landed on his back, the spear penetrating him. John fell across him. The lightning crackled around them for another few seconds, and then it sputtered out. In great pain, Damon Prytanis got to his feet. He limped over to them. They were both dead. This time there was absolutely no sign of Vulcan rising again. John had been wrong. Whatever madness he had been thinking, whatever had made him defy his orders, he had got it wrong. And now he, too, was dead.
"You bloody idiot," Damon said,
chewing and spitting the words painfully out of his mangled mouth. He could hear gunships circling, the ominous howl of Storm Eagle engines. The fight had attracted a great deal of attention. It was time to go. It was long past time to go. Narek of the Word stirred and sat up. His transhuman metabolism had finally clotted and closed the wounds Kurz had left upon him. He got to his feet. Further devastation had evidently swept through the machine shop quad while he had been unconscious. Kurz had vanished, and the two humans were gone too. Vulcan still lay there, however. Narek could hear the enemy approaching, but he limped over to Vulcan's side and bent over him. The Primarch was dead. The spear impaled his chest. Narek thought to pull it out, to take it and escape so he could put it to his own purpose. When he touched the spear, however, it was cold and inert. It no longer felt godlike. There was no power left in it. He tried to pull it out, but it absolutely refused to move. Gunships chattered in overhead. He heard the crunch of heavy footsteps. The cataphracty of Gilliman's Invictus bodyguard entered the broken quad from all sides. Narek rose to meet them. He tossed his rifle aside and slowly, reluctantly, raised his hands. "Get this bastard contained," said Dracus Gorod. "Now!"